Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Travel Department. Discover hundreds of unforgettable destinations with expert local guides.
Tweet at Miriam O'Call.
Well, Alex Fegan is a documentary filmmaker. He made Older Than Ireland and The Irish Pub and Abbey Feelgood, which you might have seen, all great. Well, this time he's turned his lens towards the Catholic Church, and it's a story he's decided to tell through the confession box with the help of 15 priests from all around the country. And one of those is Father Pat Collins of Ascension, a lecturer and a writer. And Alex and Father Pat are here with me in our studio this morning. Morning to you both.
Good morning.
It's a lovely idea. Alex, explain first why you chose confession as a subject for a documentary.
Thank you very much, Miriam. My son was making his first confession, as most kids in the country still do. And I was sitting in the church, and the priest made a lovely kind of sermon. He was talking about the prodigal son and all that. And I was watching my son go up to do his first confession. And my initial reaction was, initially my cynical side was like, this seems so bizarre, you know, this 8-year-old going up talking about his sins, especially with all that's gone on. And so I had that sort of cynical side of me. But on the other hand, I was sort of taking it all in total face value and thinking, my God, you know, this idea of being able to go up to somebody, say your sins and have those sins forgiven just seemed kind of emotional. So at the time it was Trump territory, and sort of the need for introspection wasn't exactly the phrase of the day. It was, everyone was becoming more entrenched in their echo chambers. And I kind of thought, God, this could be an interesting theme to kind of look at these wider issues through this prism.
And do you remember your own first confession? How, I suppose, would you describe yourself? Catholic, lapsed Catholic, occasional mass goer?
Yeah, and I suppose like most people, I came from a Catholic background. I went to a Catholic school. One of my best teachers, I was saying to Father Pat, was Father Devlin, an amazing priest. So I actually had a huge amount of time for priests through him. So I probably then went through my 20s and 30s and just didn't think a lot about it. So I probably, in some respects, went to the territory of lapsed Catholic. And then it all sort of started to kind of, through the exploration of this project, started to question where I was, started to make kind of a big change, actually, through that process.
So how did you decide which priest to talk to? Now, your Father Pat beside you,
I'm listening to this.
Okay, on what basis did you choose them?
My initial thing was I needed priests that would have been hearing confession.
So he's watching you closely.
I might actually Google priest in Offaly, or where would I hear confession in Offaly, or because I wanted to get a wide variety: Kerry, Cork, Limerick, Galway, Belfast. So I started to just Google who's hearing confessions around. And then also I wanted a few kind of priests that I thought might have a particular insight into confession. And obviously Father Pat is one of the most respected priests in the country. So I just reached out to him and asked him, would he sit for an interview? And he was brilliant.
What did you think when you were first approached? Were you nervous, or were you reluctant, or did you say, yeah, I'd love to do this?
No, I thought I'd love to do it because, I mean, the documentary shows the limitations of confession as it has been in Ireland. But I saw the good side. And because I was interested in psychology, I knew that the whole notion of being able to talk to somebody was very therapeutic. So I was coming from like counselling, psychotherapy, that sort of thing. There's a lot of confessional stuff on the radio. And I was interested in 12-step programs, and step 5 is that you have to reveal your wrongdoings to one other human being. Now, I'd been doing that, and I saw how extraordinarily therapeutic that could be for people. So I thought, there's something we've lost in the way we're doing it, but there's something to recover which is precious and worthwhile. And I'm an advocate of the good side of confession.
Do you still hear confessions, Father Pat? And surely the practice must have dropped off enormously.
It certainly has dropped off a lot. And in a certain sense, I'm sure there'll be priests annoyed with me saying this, but if people are coming in and saying the same old rigmarole every week, I can't see the point in that, really. But what you're getting nowadays is people coming in and making big confessions, so to speak, that they will really go through their whole life. And that can be the beginning of a new beginning for them. I would have people coming privately to me, but often then I go out and do healing services and penance services. We'll be doing a lot of those now during Lent. Mm. So I expect in the next few weeks I'll be out hearing confessions, lots of them. So it hasn't died away. People actually who don't go to church think all these things have died away. And then when they go down to the local church, they find there's a lot more going on than they thought.
Yeah, were you surprised at that, Alex? And also, let's talk about the actual confession box. I mean, I think one of the priests describes it as a wardrobe. Are they generally a thing of the past?
Yeah, a lot of the priests would say that they are a thing of the past. Some of the priests had even stronger words to use against the confession box. So a lot of confessions now were heard at on pews or in confession rooms. And if you go down to Clarendon Street or to the Carmelites on just off Grafton Street there, you'll see that there's queues still for confession every day, more or less, especially in the lead up to Christmas and whatnot.
Because I suppose those confession boxes, I'd say both, having covered the stories of child abuse for years, they had a very bad resonance, didn't they, for a lot of people, that actual box.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, you know, one of the priests had said that, you know, there was a voyeuristic aspect to it. And like Father Pat, we talked about this as well, like the whole confession thing became obsessed with just sexual sins, and that kind of obsession kind of distorted what was the potential of it.
You have a theory about why that obsession took place, don't you?
Well, it came across actually in the documentary, the notion of Jansenism,
and that explain. There
was Jansenism was a very puritanical view on the continent, and when the penal laws were operating, Irish priests were going to be trained in France. Now, they were picking up all these Jansenistic views, which were very, very strict and exacting, legalistic. And when they came back to Ireland, when Maynooth was founded, the British were really worried about all these priests because they were picking up revolutionary ideas in France. So they said, we'll set up a seminary, which was Maynooth. But a lot of the lecturers were imported from France, and they brought in their Jansenistic views with them. And somebody observed that actually then we exported our Jansenism to the English-speaking world. So a lot of the priests that went out from Ireland to the United States, to Canada and to Australia brought this very moralistic view with them.
That's really interesting, Father Pat. And listen, I want to kind of tease out what's good about confession with you and what isn't so good. Let's start with the good. Why do you think some people still get so much out of it?
Because I think you need a personal relationship with Christ. And I think one of the problems with a lot of Irish Catholics is they know a lot about the person of Christ, but they don't know him in person. Now, it's only when you know him in person that sin really makes sense, that I have hurt the person that I'm in a relationship with. He loves me with a great love, and I'm acting in a selfish, non-loving way. And what's fascinating is the contrast between older people and younger people. When I hear confessions for teenagers, they never mention sex, hardly ever. And it's notable by its absence. What they mention all the time is, I was lousy to somebody. I was hurtful in what I said. I lacked empathy and understanding. I made my sister feel bad, or, you know, I said things to my mother that would have hurt her feelings very much. And you say, this is much healthier, because the great command is love one another, and sin is I lack love.
I'd ask you both, and I'm just thinking this now. I mean, if you're a religious person, you have a faith, why can't you just yourself ask forgiveness from your Lord? Why do you need to go through, I'm not being in any way rude, but through a priest?
Oh, no, it's a very perfectly valid question. Now, we live in a capitalist, individualistic culture. So we start everything with I. And why do I take this shampoo? Because I am worth it. You say, but actually we're social beings. We live with others. So most of our sins are sins against love and against the community. And love, the forgiveness of the community should be mediated to you, not just individually. Yes, of course you can confess your sins to God in your heart. Most Protestants would do it that way. Jung, though, thought it wasn't, he thought the Catholic way was better from a psychological point of view, that it was healthier to go and talk to somebody and get the community's forgiveness.
Do you go to confession, Father Pat?
Of course I do, yeah.
You do, yeah. But you've no sins.
Oh, you must be joking. You must be joking. I mean, if you knew the if the people I live with were interviewed, they'd tell you.
You, Alex, once you made this, did you start going back to confession yourself?
I made a promise. I said kind of, as I said, I started off very, very cynical about it. And like that, I was kind of like, why do you need to go to a priest? I just didn't get it. I really didn't. And then at the end, I said during the process of making the film that I would go to confession at the end of making the film. And I was quite nervous. I was actually sitting there in the queue and I was going, what am I doing? Went into the room and I just said, because having spoken to all the priests, they all said, what's the difference between authentic confession or sort of like just listing off the stuff you did when you were 12? You know, I didn't, you know, I disobeyed my mother or I stole cookies from the jar or whatever. So anyway, I went into confession and I said to the priest, I'm going to look you in the eye now and I'm going to tell you everything. And I'm not joking. It was one of the most profound experiences. I came out and I was just like, this thing is here. Like, it's, you know, we spend a lot of money going to therapists and whatnot. But here's this.
But that's what Jung said. He said, you see, that it's therapeutic.
It's therapeutic, yeah.
If you do it that way, the way you did it.
Yeah, well, the priest was particularly gentle in the way he said it. And he just kind of said, that was a very authentic confession. And he said, now all your sins are forgiven. And honestly, I came out and I was kind of thinking, didn't think I would think this way at all, Miriam. I came out, as I said, I was going in thinking one way, but I did come out thinking something completely different.
What about also, and you did ask all the priests this question, you know, if they hear some confession where someone confesses to something really serious like murder or abuse or a crime, and what do they say to you on that?
So actually, like Father Pat mentioned, talking about, you know, hearing sins about murder, and I'll let you talk about that. But another priest, Father Joe MacDonald, mentioned, you know, what happens in the event, say, a paedophile comes into you and confesses their sins, which is obviously something that's incredibly serious, but also there's a possibility of something like this happening again. Mm. And he had some reflections in the film about that, which I thought were like just very, like obviously the seal of confession cannot, and all the priests were adamant about this, cannot be broken even in those circumstances.
But surely, Father Pat, would you not go to the guards if you heard?
No, you wouldn't in those cases. But what you would say is you should go to the guards. Now, of course, I would have no conviction that they would. And for us priests, one of the difficult things is we're often hearing things outside of confession. Now, in any profession, there's kind of confidentiality. But we have to warn people, if you tell me anything of that nature, I have to report it.
Okay.
Now, I have had things said to me, both in confession, which I would not have revealed, but outside of confession, I have gone to the guards on more than one occasion. By the way, when I went, they weren't all that interested. Mm. And they said that the people involved would need to come in and make the complaint. And I've written to the guards about situations. And again, I got very polite replies. They would need to come in and make the accusation
themselves.
Well, at
least you did it. Which,
yes.
One of the things, as we come towards the end, I noticed there was a lot of loneliness you, I think, revealed in this beautiful film about the priests themselves. A lot of them were lonely.
Yeah, there were. Yeah, yeah. Like, one priest explained that, in times of gone by, they'd have maybe a priest would have a housekeeper, and that wasn't the case anymore. So they eat dinner alone, that kind of thing. It was quite a lonely existence for some of the priests. What do you think of that, Father Pat?
I think it's true. A certain number would certainly feel lonely. I didn't go into the diocesan priesthood precisely for that reason. I went into a community. And I'm not joking when joking is not the word, but I'm not telling a lie when I say I never feel lonely.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Because you're part of a community.
Exactly. And I've got good companions and we get on very well together. So, but So,
except when you're sinning against them.
Well, yeah, but they're very forgiving. I mean, we don't fall out. You know, we get on well together. And I must say, and I get on well with my family. So it's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I loved it. And Alex Spiegan and Father Pat Collins, thank you both for coming in to me this morning. Sins of Ireland is going to be released in cinemas around Ireland on the 18th of this month. Isn't that correct,
yes,
Alex?
Yes.
Good Friday.
Good Friday.
And it'll also be on Arte at some date in the future. And Alex, I know you're doing a Q&A at the IFI Dublin on that day, the 18th of April.
Yeah.
And also at the iCinema in Galway on the 19th of April.
Yes.
And at the IMC in Killarney on the 22nd of April.
Yes. So book tickets soon because they'll be gone.
Okay. Well, listen, Alex, thanks so much. And Father Pat, thanks so much.
Thanks a million.
Coming
Thank yourself. You so much, Mary.
We'll take a break.
Thank you.